and welcome to 4Panel, Geek Show's show all about comics and manga. It's drawn on a piece of paper with speech bubble, we'll talk about it. We've got a full roster today with, as usual, me, Ben. We've got Rob.
Hello.
For the first time, Tucky.
Hello.
And the Geek Show regular, Ryan.
Boom shakalaka.
Okay.
Yes. And we won't talk about what just happened.
Okay.
Let us never mention it again.
Yes. Got some interesting comic news for you today, so on with the news.
Start off, Daredevil.
Yes.
Has started on Netflix.
Yes, the other week, Netflix launched their original Daredevil series, and it's getting a lot of praise.
It is.
Yeah, quite surprised that the... put the entire season up as well. I would have thought, especially with something like this, they would just bring out an episode a week.
Well, I don't know. I actually think it's a good idea that they put the entire season up. The main thing that has drawn people to it is the fact that they can marathon it.
Yeah.
It's not been this kind of, weekly thing like HBO's done with Arrow and The Flash. Is it HBO doing the Arrow and The Flash? I think it is.
I believe so.
Netflix did that with Better Call Saul. They'd released one episode a week.
Yeah. But I think the advantage of doing it this way is that people can actually watch the entirety of the story.
You see, majority of people that use Netflix actually prefer just for the entire thing to be out so they can marathon binge watch it.
I haven't watched... I only just started watching Better Call Saul. And I watched it now because I know there's a lot there, so I can just stick it on and watch it for ages. I can have it on while I work or do something.
Well, they did this study recently about television habits, about people who watch TV, and they found that the whole idea of the weekly serial thing is actually declining really rapidly. People's watching habits have changed since the advent of things like Netflix and stuff like that, where they can watch things in blocks.
Yeah, now that you can have a show whenever you want, on demand, like at the touch of a click of a finger.
Yeah.
Things that come out weekly, it seems annoying since I could just watch it whenever I want. I don't have to sit down at a certain time.
Exactly. I think this might be something that we want to keep an eye on because it does signify a big change in how television networks are approaching, shows in the future.
We talked about on Geek Show's animation show...
Keyframe
last week that Knights of Cydonia is getting a second series
season on Netflix,
showing that anime is viable on like Netflix and stuff, and this is showing that TV series are viable. It's like Breaking Bad was one of the biggest shows about, and that was via Netflix, and now Marvel's getting in on the game.
Yeah,
so it might be where you get your superheroes from now on. And people saying it's one of the best things that Marvel's done in a long time.
Well, I mean, up until recently, DC was really handing it to them in terms of TV.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, they've got a lot of stunning shows, DC. They've got Gotham, they've got Arrow, Flash. What's Marvel got? They've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which isn't actually very good.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Is there supposed to be a spin-off of that as well?
Yes, there is supposed to be,
There's supposed to be another spin-off of it. But
there's also Agent Carter that's meant to be good.
I heard good things about Carter.
Yeah.
But it's nothing compared to what DC have done. And I'm guessing by going this different route, by going via Netflix, they're testing the water, seeing what works, and it's working very well for them.
Do you think we're going to see other lesser-known titles? I wouldn't say Daredevil is a lesser-known title, but it hasn't been a mainstream thing for them in terms of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and in terms of just their cartoon presence as well, their animated presence.
You see, I think you might get some of the sort of the lesser featured A-listers, because Daredevil's still an A-lister.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're going to see anyone on the B-tier list yet. See, I don't think Marvel will take that risk.
Well, the thing is, there are a few of the Marvel heroes who would actually really work in terms of a television format. Doctor Strange is one that would really work. Because Doctor Strange is essentially a Marvel superhero version of Supernatural.
Yeah, so the thing is, they've already announced the movie, and I don't think they'll do a TV show till the movie comes out.
No, I agree with you on that. But there's others. Cloak and Dagger would be an interesting one as a TV series.
I have heard that they are using Daredevil as an experiment to see if that does well, and then they're going to try and bring in some of those B-listers, I heard.
Yeah, because there are all sorts of B-listers from Marvel who could really work. Any thoughts from you, Tony?
The rebooting Punisher, or would that be like...
See, Punisher would be a good one.
Now, this is the main point that I was going to make about Daredevil, is that Daredevil is very much like the Punisher. You know, he's very dark and violent, and I must say that Daredevil's probably the most action-packed, violent show on television,
really?
I think, at the minute.
Not even disregarding, you know, the new series of Game of Thrones?
Well, Game of Thrones is just, like, casually violent. Well, this, it's like, the action is really brutal and consistent, while Game of Thrones, it's more of a drama, then it does have the odd bit of violence in it, but it's not as bad.
The odd bit of extended violence.
Well, I don't know. I personally think that this has got more action
when
in it.
When ultraviolence happens all the time, it stops being ultraviolence.
Yeah, so, just desensitize yourself to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Game of Thrones
has
is just a bit graphic, and that's pretty much it, but in terms of the consistency, I'd say Daredevil's a lot more. I think the fact that it's on Netflix is, like, can do that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't have to work to TV regulations
exactly,
anymore.
Okay.
They're all loaned to
themselves. We're working on internet rules now.
No, because internet rules means Rule 34.
Well, I like how
I don't
you, that,
see
that's
that version
the first
of
one
Daredevil.
You wanted came up with.
I don't want to see that version of Daredevil on Netflix. It's
kinky.
Like, a billion other rules, but you chose that one.
It's the one that everybody knows. Nobody remembers what all the other internet rules are.
I know a few of them. Rule 1, we don't talk about B. Rule 2, we don't talk about B.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. Enough of Daredevil and Rule 1 and 2.
I'm actually looking up the internet rules now. I'm quite interested.
Yes, okay, enough of that. DC are leaving New York.
Yes.
And we don't mean in the theoretical sense. We mean as in the actual company is leaving New York.
They're pulling out.
Yeah, they had two studios, one in DC and one in California. And the...
one in DC?
Not DC, in New York even, sorry.
Yeah.
And they're packing up their New York studio and moving it all up to California.
Well, apparently it's one of the reasons why the Convergence event is happening right now as well.
So they
because they're packing up that studio.
So they can fire all those people.
Possibly. We don't know what's... we're not too sure. I mean, it is partially their restructuring, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it.
The thing is, at the end of Convergence, they're going to be ending some series, but it's not like in the DC, the Marvel one, where people are actually going to die. They're not ending series because of this.
Well, I think that the move out to California, it ties in with the new focus on TV and film, because that's where they need to be. It's not just a game about making comic books anymore. Most of their income over the last couple of years has come from the movies and the merchandise related to the movies.
That's why they should make some better movies.
But also the TV shows, Arrow, Flash, Gotham.
Yep.
You know, hell, even Constantine is technically a DC title.
So, it's a normal thing for studios to sort of to lower costs or lower studios. There's no real reason for them to have two studios.
I don't know if it's simply a case of lowering costs, though, in this case, because they are expecting Marvel to up sticks from New York at some point and move out to the West Coast as well. I think it's more to do with the focus on movies and TV, because if you want anything to do with movies and TV, you need to be based in California somewhere.
I know, but they don't have to close a studio when they've already got the studio up there.
They might.
The only reason they'll close one is if they want to downsize.
No, but they're expanding the studio on the West Coast. So I'm not sure if people will, if as many people as we expect will lose their jobs.
I'm not expecting people to lose their jobs, but they don't need the two studios, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, like, having the New York one when everything can already be done in California is pointless. It's just spreading it needlessly far. Like, the only reason they really had the New York one was sort of a status thing.
Yeah.
Look at us, we have a New York.
It's more practical to move to California because that's where all the talent is living now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, Marvel have done some stuff to kind of bid them farewell.
Yes, they had a great reaction on Twitter. Yeah. When DC announced it, they posted a video of Rocket Raccoon crying.
Yeah. Right, okay, moving on. More DC news. Robin, this time, is back again. But this time it's Damian Wayne.
Yes, back from the dead.
And apparently his mum's coming as well.
Exactly, yeah. Like, interesting move. If you don't know, Damian Wade.
Wayne.
Bruce Wayne. Wayne. I'm getting my...
You have been saying Wade quite a lot.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's because you're a Deadpool. It's because Deadpool's in the news and you're thinking Wade Wilson.
Yeah, I've been reading way too much Deadpool things recently. I said Damian Wayne is Bruce Wayne's child. And became one of the Robins until he met his unfortunate end to the hands of the Joker, I believe.
Again.
Yeah, Robins and Jokers, they just don't get on well.
No. Joker actually has a vendetta against Robins. I think it was in the third little kind of Robin miniseries when Tim Drake beat the Joker and put him back into Arkham. And at the end it says, you know, I'm going to get that little birdie and this time he's going to stay dead. Because in Joker's head, Robin is basically all the same. It's not that he doesn't see Tim Drake or Jason Todd or anything like that. He just sees Robin as Robin.
Yeah. Is there any word on how they're bringing him back?
I'm not sure yet.
It better not be the Lazarus Pit.
Actually, it might be because Talia al Ghul is his mum. So well, it might be.
They've done that so many times.
Yeah. Well, which one was brought back? Was it
Jason Todd became Red Hood?
Yeah, so yeah, they do tend to lean on that Lazarus Pit a little bit too much. It's sort of their get out jail free card.
There's no real word on how they're actually bringing him back at the moment, but
so
we'll watch his space.
Lazarus Pit,
well, it's the one that everybody knows.
I know, but that's why I want them to get rid of it. Like, it's a trump card, like, oh, we want someone back. Here's a reason they're back. We don't have to work hard. We don't have to think of anything.
Doctor Who, like, version of that we're bringing the Daleks back because we've run out of, like, really good enemies.
Exactly. So, it annoys me when there's just, like, these really overpowered things and they're always used like a crutch to fill in holes in the story.
Yeah.
Metachlorians.
You had to bring that up, didn't you? Anyway,
it's the worst version of it, isn't it, though?
Yes, it is. Right, moving on. Interesting segue, since you did mention Deadpool, we're going to have to go to Deadpool. Deadpool 45, Deadpool dies.
Yes.
Or Deadpool 50, dead. Depending on which one you look at. So, yeah, he dead.
Yep.
Again.
Yeah, after quite a successful run and an upcoming movie, they are ending Deadpool. And they're ending it with his death.
Yeah. How many times has Deadpool died now? Because I know previously, before they killed off... They killed off Deadpool ages ago, and then they brought out Agent X. This was when Gail Simone was writing Deadpool.
Yeah.
And then after that, they went back to Deadpool, but then he had two graves because he had Wade Wilson and then Wade Wilson again because he was supposed to be dead. But he wasn't dead. He was still alive.
Yeah. So they always count with the fact... That with his healing factor, they just like it did appear like he was dead.
Yeah,
but he wasn't.
He was in pieces, man.
I know. Said that's happened all the time. Even one of the enemies in Deadpool was all of his chopped off parts forming together to make a second Deadpool.
Yeah,
that fought Deadpool.
Yep.
So, like,
and when everyone thought Agent X was basically Wade Wilson, turned out he wasn't. Agent X was something else.
Yeah.
Because he appears in Deadpool.
Yeah, so as much as like Deadpool is really popular, so they're probably going to do a new series. Like, he's in every other series as well. I mean, didn't you read a Hulk the other week that had him in?
Yes.
Today I'm talking about Wolverines, and it's an entire issue about Deadpool. So he's not going away. He's going to be in all the other comics a billion times because he's way too popular not to. And to tell the truth, Deadpool is at his best when he's bouncing off other people.
His relationship with Cable was hilarious.
Yes. I said, because of that, it makes sense that he's still going to be around.
Yeah.
And the loss of his main series isn't exactly the worst thing that could happen.
Like, he still has the best line I've seen in a Marvel cartoon. Hulk picks him up and the first thing he says is, not the face.
I said, yeah, so he's gone, but he's never really going to be gone. But one of my favourite things about the story was there is a reaction from the real Deadpool.
Well, from Ryan Reynolds, anyway. What a beautiful reaction it was. It's Ryan Reynolds tweeted out a picture of him in his Deadpool outfit from the film, and he's sitting on the toilet reading an issue of Deadpool 45, and the comment underneath the tweet is just, smells like someone died up in here.
So it shows he's got that humour about it that shows good signs for the movie.
It shows that Ryan Reynolds understands the character.
Yeah.
He understands what the character's about. And he's been pushing to play Deadpool for years.
Unfortunately, he got to in Wolverine.
Yeah, unfortunately, he never... I think that's one of those memories that he's carefully removed.
I think they came up with the new Deadpool movie just to say sorry to him.
Yeah, it's got to be the ultimate apology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, we're sorry we did that to you. Here's a good version of it. Please forgive us.
Yes. Sticking with Marvel news and moving on, Kevin Feige has confirmed that the rebooted Marvel Spider-Man will be a high school Peter Parker.
Yes. Needs to defeat Doc Ock and the proms tomorrow.
No. He can't go out and fight Rhino because he's got to study for his test.
So, yeah, I was kind of hoping it would be Miles
Morales.
Yeah, that's who I wanted to be the next Spider-Man. I think he's far more interesting than Peter Parker.
Yeah,
and so yeah, so we get another Peter Parker. This time he's younger. Tell you, Peter Parker is now one of the most boring characters in the Spider-Verse. Like, the entire, multiverse thing they did just showed how boring he is compared to everyone else. Like, the most interesting moment he's had in, like, recent years was when Doc Ock took control of his body.
Oh, don't get me started on that, because this is how disturbing that was for me. It was actually quite traumatic. Doc Ock is now Peter Parker, and Doc Ock is dating Mary Jane.
Yeah.
But Doc Ock, when he was still Dr. Octopus, had a thing for Aunt May. So now Doc Ock is Peter Parker, so Peter Parker now has a thing for his Aunt May. This is heading into, like, serious, like, disturbing manga territory.
Yeah, people are complaining about that.
Still, it's more interesting than Peter Parker. It's just like, oh, life is so hard.
Venom's tearing up the town. But wait, I have detention.
Yeah.
Oh dear!
Yeah. So it's like, oh no, I'm a teenager. No, woe is me.
So at least they're going a bit different than their usual route.
Do you think the mask then, if they put him around in high school, is the mask to hide like really bad acne?
The outfit's actually going to be a Halloween one he picked up from the store.
And a Halloween outfit.
Yeah.
What if they got it wrong and he ends up with a witch's costume?
No. He goes for his emo phase and he gets the symbiote suit.
Might be in textile club. Might have a skill set that we didn't know about before.
Quilting. him and Shocker having a quilting competition.
Yeah, it really should have been Miles, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
So I think they've missed a chance to, like, go off in a different direction. They've got, like, a billion different Spider-Mans they could have chosen from now, they went for the boring
old
Peter
Parker.
There's an
angle with Spider-Man, because they basically had Spider-Man working as a photographer for the Daily Bugle and going to college and stuff like that. And he was dating Mary Jane and stuff like that. But they never actually explored the idea of Spider-Man's genetics have changed, which is how he's got these abilities. One angle that they never explored was the whole idea of genetics being passed on. So his son or daughter.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't they effectively inherit at least some of his abilities? If not all.
Depends. Maybe Mary Jane's just got really dominant genes. And a lot of the genes might depend on other ones existing and being diluted with another humans could make them null void.
Could do.
Like, we don't know. It was never explored.
That's what I mean.
Never,
science.
But, like, we it's a point I've had about Spider-Man Forever, is he's never grown up. He's never got past this whole awkward teenage college student phase.
I'd love to
and
see.
And they always restart it before he can.
I'd love for them to actually push it and actually explore that.
Yeah.
Because Spider-Man is a full-grown adult with, you know, like a wife, a family, that sort of thing. Can he continue being Spider-Man?
Yeah, and maybe he might be an interesting character if they let him develop some.
Old and rugged Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, not just that. I mean, if he's got a wife and kid, he's got other concerns. He's not going to want to put his family in danger. So he might just give up being Spider-Man. But what happens if his kids inherit the spider gene sort of thing?
Does he train them or does he just...
Yeah, does he train them or do they just learn it for themselves like he did?
Well, what if he just disappears then? From the whole like scene and that, and then they just focus on the kids and the kids are grown up trying to find where he is?
Yeah, that'd be another angle. There's loads of ways you could play it. That would be much more interesting than Peter Parker being back in high school.
Getting bullied.
By Flash Thompson.
Yeah.
We know where this is going. This is like the most predictable story in comic books. We know exactly where it's going to go.
Have you been watching Web Warriors, the animated season of it?
No.
It's basically going to be that.
I wouldn't mind that. That kind of is not too bad.
It's like, oh no, Flash, he's me bully. It's like, no, I stood up to him. I did the American thing, I talked to him. It's like, nah, that never works in real life. You get your ass kicked. At least be able to be flexible enough to fit into a locker, I suppose.
Okay, moving on. More Marvel news, but this time from the Ant-Man movie. They've revealed Yellowjacket's costume.
Yes, and he looks far better than all the other shots I've seen of this entire movie.
And he's yellow.
Yes.
Ah, there it is.
He actually looks better than the main character.
I agree.
He looks so much better than the title character, and he's like, okay.
He's got sort of a badass tech look going.
Yeah, cyberpunkish.
Yeah.
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 Looks like you could get honey from him.
Yeah, we don't go there.
Not that kind of honey.
It sort of piqued my interest because, like, when they said they were doing Ant-Man, I was like, oh, cool, Ant-Man. Then I saw the trailers, like, Ant-Man. And now, again, I'm like, oh, Ant-Man. It's sort of gone through peaks with me, like, how I feel about it. And tell you, a good bad guy can change an entire series. So,
yeah.
Having this yellow jacket, pretty good.
It is. I'm still not sure about this about the main storyline, but you know, it does make me want to watch the movie again.
Yeah.
The fact that Yellow Jacket actually looks really cool.
Yeah, it gives me hope that maybe the other stuff they showed was just unfinished or just a bit rusty, because Yellow Jacket looks so good. Unless they've managed to, like...
Well, didn't they say it's meant to be more like a heist movie?
Yeah. And that's what's worrying me.
Hmm.
And Ant-Man as a heist movie. It's just kind of Ant-Man... but they've got, what's-his-face, Michael Douglas, was it, playing the original Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And the guy who's playing Ant-Man now is going to be his protege, kind of. Hmm. And he's going to be the grizzled mentor teaching the young bug how to be a superhero.
That's how the current comic's based.
Yeah.
Because he's originally sort of like a thief at first.
Yeah, he is a thief. He steals the suit. And that's how the new Ant-Man started, basically. Yeah. So the fact they're doing that as their main thing, I think, is good. And the fact they're doing a heist movie is completely different to all the other Marvel movies out at the moment.
Yeah, true.
And that's more interesting because they could rehash what they're doing with everything else.
Yeah.
Or they could take it in different ways. And if it does well, maybe they'll do more unique stuff along the way.
Very true. That's a fair point. Okay, moving on to continuing on how things look. They've shown the thing. That sounds wrong. Let me rephrase that.
The new Fantastic Four... The thing from the new Fantastic Four has been released, images of him, and he looks like a rock.
And he's not orange.
Yep.
he's kind of terracotta instead, isn't he?
Yeah, but
don't get that out of me.
Except,
you know, plant pot type thing.
Yeah, Yeah.
So brown. The previous version looked a bit too plasticky for my liking. He didn't look real. This guy looks like a rock.
Yeah.
And it's like the jagged edges on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this has been the first thing that has made me kind of excited about Fantastic Four. Like, overall, I don't really care for Fantastic Four that much. I think they're a bit of a boring comic. But he looks cool.
I just find it really, really odd that it's Jamie Bell playing the Thing. And I just remember him as Billy Elliot. So I've got this weird mental image in my head of the Thing pirouetting and, you know, and doing ballet.
Yeah, you've pretty much ruined that for yourself, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
In a rundown County Durham estate.
Yeah, just Ben Grimm going,
stop putting images in my head.
No, it will happen.
It's also doing actions for a podcast. Not that great listening.
Yes.
Like, he's doing true. This and this.
As many so I can put images in Ryan's head rather than for the listeners. Sorry, listeners. Anyway, yes, I do like the look of Ben Grimm.
Yeah, he looks cool, and it's already, like, sort of bumped my opinion above the previous movies. That's one of the main reasons I'm not excited for this one, because the last ones were so bad.
They were, but I've seen the cast for this one, and I keep thinking that they're... It just seems like there's two... Let me explain. With the previous one, I could actually believe to a degree they were scientists and stuff like that. With this one, I could just keep thinking, go get your parents.
Yeah, they're a lot younger, aren't they?
Yeah, it's the same problem I have with this whole idea of the rebooted Spider-Man being back in high school. Just kind of, I know the focus is supposed to be on attracting new audiences and stuff like that, but don't do it to the detriment of the fans who've been there forever, you know?
It's not so much that, it's just hitting your target audience. Like, statistics show that their target audience likes to see people their own age. So by casting them, it sort of shows what audience they're going for.
That's their target audience, but...
I agree it's to detriment of...
The majority of fans of Fantastic Four are in their 30s.
The majority of Fantastic Four is so fans are so small now, it doesn't really matter.
That's what I mean.
It's got, like, so little following nowadays. In fact, the comic itself has stopped.
That's why it's got so little following, because the comic stopped.
And that's why they need to try and reach out for a new audience, because the old one doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I know it's supposed to be the tried and tested method, but I can see, I can foresee quite a severe older fan backlash, and it's already started happening in quite a few places. There are quite a few fans who are basically saying, "Look, it doesn't matter how good the movie is, I'm not going to see it because they're all kids."
I said the thing is, they all say that.
Yeah, the whole Johnny Storm thing as well has annoyed a lot of people because it's, you know, the whole idea of Johnny Storm and Susan Storm is that they are brother and sister, and everyone's going, "Well, how are they related then? Tell us. We want that explaining. If you don't explain it, then, you know, how can we believe it?"
Then again, we haven't seen the movie yet. They might explain it.
I mean, if they're adopted, okay, just say they're adopted.
Might just be like, they have a different dad. That's an easy way to explain it. It's like, but...
People don't like
change. We don't know what they've changed until we go see the movie. And that's why all this boycotting stuff's a load of bull, because no one has any judgment of the movie until they see the movie.
No, we
don't like all the changes.
Have you seen these changes?
No, you haven't seen anything. You've seen pictures, a couple of trailers. You have nothing to base your opinion on until this movie comes out. Then you can make your opinion.
To be honest, the trailer for it was a bit bad, so...
Yeah. And so, you get what I see. Like, all these complaints are sort of frivolous until the movie actually comes out.
No, I agree with you on that. I'm just saying the backlash has already started happening.
It's all about the hype.
It's always happening. There's always backlash about everything. Like, there's backlash about who's the new Batman. Oh, backlash. Oh God, yeah.
That was quite severe. But Ben Affleck has proved himself as an actor, though. Everyone just remembers Daredevil, but, you know. Even there's only so much the actor can be blamed for.
Every time a new Batman's announced, there's outcry. Every time a new Bond's announced, outcry. Every time there's a new anything announced, outcry. Can you remember the outcry when Thor became a woman? One of the best-selling versions of Thor at the moment.
Well, I was actually worried about that, but once it was
she's in the new Avengers, isn't she?
I was actually worried about that, but once it was explained to me that she's basically just inherited the powers of Thor, she's not actually Thor, I had no problem with it. Because my main concern...
But that is what I was saying about Fantastic Four.
My main concern with the Thor one was that they'd basically taken Thor, who is mythologically the son of Odin. You know, that is exactly who he is. And they basically tried to change mythology. I'm like, well, hang on, isn't that a bit kind of... You know, you're trying to change history effectively. Mm. That was what I was worried about. But when someone...
The Marvel's take on mythology, not the strictest to the source material.
I know,
I didn't think they have lasers back there either, but they're in four.
I know. But all I'm saying is it's a major thing.
Yeah, so... Like I said, they explained that well. They were like...
Yeah, she's inherited the powers of Thor.
It's ingrained on the hammer that whoever's worthy to wield... this hammer
will inherit the power of Thor.
Yeah, and that's how they explained it. And they might explain all this stuff in the Fantastic Four movie, but no one's given them a chance yet. It's already boycotted.
Yeah, effectively. Anyway, enough of that. We're moving across to the East for a couple of bits of manga news. Number one, Anthropomorphization Strikes Again, or Gijinka, as it's called in Japan. Christ Weekly has decided to anthropomorphize the various Christian denominations in their weekly newspaper. They already have a Sentai series, which I believe is called Missionary Proclaimers Churchgare, which is their version.
Quick, to the Bible Mobile!
Yes, but now they're anthropomorphizing Christian denominations, so you might have things like Baptist Donno. And, you know,
Catholic schoolgirls.
I don't know, but you might end up with a Catholic Chan. Schoolgirls. You know.
As I tell you what, it's probably an easier way to explain everything than all the current types, because no one seems to be able to explain what all the different denominations are.
I think this is going to be one of those, basically it's going to be a four-panel manga, kind of a comedy type thing, is what they're going for. Yeah. It's not the first time they've done this kind of comedy stuff with regards to religion, because Saint Young Men is notorious and also charming and funny.
So, my main problem is this is in Christ Monthly, isn't it? Something like
Christ Weekly.
I think you've already got your audience there, mate.
Yeah.
You don't need to explain this stuff. I think they know if they're subscribed to Christ Weekly.
Yes.
They probably know about
Ronson does what says on the tin.
Yeah. Thing is, I think if you're looking to explain Christianity in a mainly Buddhist and Shinto country, then the best thing to do is to use whatever medium is the most accepted there. And manga is.
If they got this comic strip in a different, thing, they had a website for it, they got into a different, a manga compilation comic. I admit that makes sense because they're getting it out there.
Yeah.
But it's sort of...
Christ Weekly.
Yeah, no one's going to go be like, oh, I'm going to check out some new comics. I'll check out Christ Weekly.
Same's happening.
This is very true. This is very true.
If they got into other stuff, I think it would be a great idea. It explains a lot of cultural differences and stuff. I don't know... the cultural differences between the denominations of Christianity.
It's all about which knee you kneel on.
Which
knee hits the floor first?
So,
there have been wars about it, I tell you.
Okay, never mind.
Sorry. I was just waiting.
No, let's move on.
All right, okay. The last news story then. Yuki Suetsugu's Chihaya Furu manga gets a live-action film. You guys might remember the animated series. I think they did one season, and there were plans to do a second season. It's that one about the 100 Poems card game. Damn it, I wish I could remember. Do you remember what the name was?
Card Captor Sakura.
No, no. It was you know the card game where you basically
the theme song.
You listen to the I don't understand Karuta. This game. Hey?
Karuta.
Karuta, that's it. Basically, the whole card game is basically somebody reads out the poem on the card and you listen for specific syllables, specific tones, that sort of thing, and you basically choose that card the fastest from the cards arrayed in front of you. And whoever gets the most cards wins. But it's an actual sport. I don't get it. But they're making a live-action manga out of it. And after the success of the Chihaya Furu anime, it suddenly exploded in Japan. And they brought out their own version of Karuta in America. And there's little places in America that actually have clubs. You know, there's high schools in America that actually have Karuta clubs now, just based off this one anime and manga series. And now it's getting a live-action movie. I will say one thing for the anime. It actually had the best sound in anime for the year it was released. It was really well done.
So are they going to do this movie sort of like a drama one or like sports movie?
I think it's going to be a comedy drama because the character of Chihaya in there, she is a complete airhead.
Yeah.
She's the kind of person who runs into glass doors because she's just kind of doesn't see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think they should set this up sort of like Rocky. She goes in, she does the thing, and she fails unbelievably. Cards. And then she has to go like run every day and punch she's running up the stairs like punching meat. And then she comes back in the hood and stuff, and then they put down the cars, and then she punches the guy and wins.
It's ironic you say that. No.
if you think Yu-Gi-Oh! Could be improved, there's your...
Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh! Be improved so much by people punching each other and a montage every so often.
See, I never understood why they couldn't just win a match by knocking out their opponent.
Yep. Like,
and taking their cards.
I think the guy who's going to be able to take over the world in like Pokemon,
yeah,
will do it when he works out you can punch people. Because like everyone's like, oh, I'll fight you with my Pokemon. No, I'm going to punch you in the face. And like,
but you're not.
See, yeah, it's the guy with the gun who's going to win.
Yeah.
So like, just I think like in all these things with like monsters that fight for you, if someone works out that they can kick the living crap out of someone, they are going to dominate the world.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody with a gun and a willingness to use a gun was in Pokemon, it would be like something like Bulbasaur. I choose bang.
There was one episode with a gun and it was cancelled.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Pokemon. And could they take zone. Their?
Oh yeah, because the Safari guy points the gun at Ash.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's also I remember in Yu-Gi-Oh! They edited them all out so everyone's just pointing at people. It's very amusing.
Hold it.
Like on E.T. where the replacement were a walkie-talkie.
Yes.
Oh god. You know the opening scene from Pulp Fiction in the cafe? You know, everybody freeze, this is a robbery.
Yep. I love censorship like that. I just find it so hilarious.
It's like Sanji's cigarette becoming a lolly.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Yes. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a very quick break there before we... we'll be back in a few minutes. We'll get into some comics.
Hello. Do you like films? Well, wow, that's good. We're over the first hurdle. If you like films and you also like podcasts, you should probably check out the Geek Show's only dedicated movie podcast, Cinema Eclectica. Well staffed with a trained array of helper monkeys, we review all of the latest films every week and do it reasonably well.
Hi everyone, welcome back to 4Panel. We're getting into some comics now. And do you want to kick us off, Ben?
Sure. Starting off with Future's End number 48, continuing off the one that I did the other week.
Ooh.
As you know, the last one ended with Tim Drake destroying the eye and being sent back to the future. But what he finds is the future is still destroyed. And in fact, he's been sent even further forward in the future than he already was, about 30 years in the future.
Yeah.
And the world is in shambles. The Justice League has been destroyed and is now been cyberized into the Eye's army. And everything's going to hell. But he finds basically a small group of resistance that is still going. The atom's still there. A few of the old ones are still kicking about. And they're fighting to try and still save the world. But you see just how bleak the world's getting. Like, for instance, they escape the building they were in. And they go to the subways. Like, why are we on the subways? Like, because we need to use the train to get away. Like, but we've already escaped. No, he doesn't like letting people go. So he's just going to use a missile strike on the entire area. Ouch. To kill us. Because he preferred to destroy things and let his prey go.
Ooh.
So he ends with Tim saying, hey, send me back in time again. I'll fix it. I'll destroy it properly this time. And they'll even... It really shows the extent of what's happened because there's a giant eye on the moon. So, yeah.
Wow.
The eye has taken over the moon. So there's no escaping the gaze, really.
It's very Masonic in a sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the all-seeing eye bit.
Yeah. Mm,
the whole Big Brother aspect.
Yeah. It's getting into very unusual territory as well. This whole time travel bit.
Yeah. Well, like I said, Batman in the Future, a lot of different things are going on.
Yeah.
And I was interested to see how, the world would have changed if he had... That's one of the things that annoyed me, though, because I was looking forward to the fact that he was getting sent back to his own time.
Yeah.
But with this massive change, the future he came from wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, all the events have built up to him becoming who he was... didn't happen, so what would the world be like?
Yeah.
It feels like a bit of a shame that they went back to, oh, the eye was still working.
Yeah.
I feel it's a missed opportunity. I get why they did it. It's an interesting story. I just wish they'd sort of done it the other way.
Okay. Right. Moving on to me. With The Drawing of the Three, it's based on... Well, it is the comic adaptation of Stephen King's The Dark Tower. Now... This chapter is number 2 of 5, and it's called House of Cards. And it starts off with a young boy who is a drug user, and also he's a drug mule for a crime boss. He's being interviewed by the customs officers. He's been strip searched. He's had all sorts of searches, and they're trying to say that the track marks on him are from drug use. He's saying they're mosquito bites, that sort of thing. But somewhere along the way, he's also talking to a cowboy in another world who's been heavily injured by the Lobstrosities, giant lobster monsters. Eventually, the boy is allowed to leave, and as he's leaving, he buys 2 hot dogs, covers them in aspirin, and then they disappear. And then you see the cowboy eating them. What's going on? There's some kind of connection between this boy and this other world and this gunslinger. And the gunslinger wants the boy to come to his world through an open door. But then this figure in top hat says, if any connection you have to people, they always die. But the gunslinger is determined to make it to the top of the Dark Tower. And you see the actual Dark Tower in comic book form, which is unusual. I know this story. I've got this story. I've read the original Dark Tower trilogy and all the sequel books that came afterwards from like the last decade. And it's Stephen King actually doing something interesting, moving away from horror and doing more horror fantasy stuff. And he actually did it really well. The Dark Tower is a really interesting story, and the comic book version of the Dark Tower is actually pretty well done. It's well drawn. You know, the characters are actually really well done, really well detailed, really well designed. It's interesting. And especially if you're a fan of the Dark Tower series, this is one of those adaptations that really works. But at the back of this is the most interesting bit after the story is finished, because it goes into kind of the making of this comic. So they're talking about plotting the action, and then the artist's work, which is, you know, all the sketches of the panels of the layout of each page, and then the colouring of the pages as well, before you actually put the speech bubbles in. So it's interesting that it's going into kind of how they put this comic together, as well as what the comic actually is. Issue 3 is out on the 13th of May, so I'll be looking forward to reading that.
Cool. Next up, I'm going to be talking about Wolverines number 13. If you don't know Wolverines, it's about the group of mutants that were part of a Weapon X program that were freed when Wolverine basically sacrificed himself to destroy the project. Well, it's usually about them. This one's not. They barely feature in it. This one is about Deadpool. And I kind of think it's about him getting to grips with Wolverine's death. And the way he does this is by becoming Wolverine.
What?
He makes his own Wolverine outfit. He gets like claw sleeve things built for him. And he decides he's going to be the new Wolverine. So he gets his stuff. He even gets Wolverine's actual dog tags.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'm going to go be Wolverine. What does Wolverine do? Oh, he fights a Hulk all the time. So I'm going to go find She-Hulk and fight her. And so like it's basically him going to She-Hulk and going, hey, I know that Wolverine used to fight Hulk all the time, so I'm going to fight you. Like, why don't you fight the Hulk? Oh, no, he's huge. I'm not going to fight him. And then he gets beaten to a pulp, as you do when annoying She-Hulk.
Yes.
So then he goes to Japan to fight some ninjas. Then he goes to all the different organizations, the X-Men, Weapon X, Avengers, all of them, and like tries to join in. Like, yeah, no, no.
I don't think the X-Men had let him back after he insisted on leading that mission dressed in the original Phoenix Jean Grey Phoenix costume.
Well, they didn't let him back, so eventually he comes across the guy who actually got Wolverine's dog tags and wants them back, and gets his butt kicked by a bunch of the assassin-y type people. Like Black Widow, Punisher, all those guys sort of kick his butt, and he takes back the dog tags. But he's like, I thought everyone wanted Wolverine back, so I was going to be Wolverine because I'm like Wolverine. But like, yeah, it's just speculation on my part, but I think it's sort of his way of dealing with the loss of Wolverine.
Yeah.
Because
just cosplay him and cause a lot of mischief.
Yeah, so he got a lot of problems. So the way he deals with an actual loss of a friend isn't something you've really seen in any of the comics.
Well, I actually do kind of understand because Wolverine had been alive for a long time because of his healing factor. And
yeah.
How many other characters have that healing factor? Deadpool, X-23, and isn't that pretty much it?
Yeah, basically.
So the only people who could actually understand Wolverine's...
Some of the new people in Wolverines have it as well.
Okay, but, you know, it's a very select few people who would actually understand what Wolverine went through.
Yeah.
And Deadpool being... Because he's a product of Weapon X, Deadpool does understand.
Yep. Like, tells you, probably Wolverine's the closest thing to an actual family.
Yeah.
He's got, and now he's gone. So
I think from the relationship what Deadpool and Wolverine had,
yeah.
I think Deadpool, in a sense, looks at Wolverine as kind of a father figure.
Yeah.
Rather than the whole brother sort of thing,
I think it was an interesting thing. So, Griffin Ballard, you can sort of take it out of context. Like, I looked up the comic, I always do, but you can read this one on its own and have a very entertaining time because it's just Deadpool being Deadpool. And this is one of the reasons I said I don't mind so much that the Deadpool series might be coming to end, because this sort of stuff's still going to happen.
Yeah.
And this is amusing as hell, because it's just Deadpool getting to be goofy for an entire comic.
Deadpool, when he's goofy, is Deadpool at his best.
Yep.
You know, serious Deadpool is, you know, it's all right, but goofy Deadpool is just... so good.
One thing that's a shame, though, in his costume, he doesn't use the costume he has on the cover, where he tied a bird to his face to make the sort of Wolverine spike things.
Oh, sorry. I just want to see Ryan Reynolds do that now.
Told you, Deadpool movie, it has a good chance it might happen.
Yeah, it's a good chance. Anyway, moving on. I have... I'm not sure what to make of this. This is from Marvel and Disney Kingdoms. A Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, issue one. And it's basically a Western. You have a young girl who's quite a tomboy, and she's heading to a new town on the train. She's at the back of the train, and she falls off the train to be saved by her horse, who's in the train, jumps off the train and saves her. Yeah.
Got some quick reactions there.
Yeah, I know. Good horse. It all gets very weird and very Western after that. She's pretending to be like the perfect kind of fair maiden for that time period.
Yeah.
But she is really just a tomboy. And she wants to do all of the stuff that the men do, wants to go down into the gold mine and see what's there. And so she sneaks in by stealing some old prospector's clothes, sneaks into the mine, and she gets involved in an accident and saved by a strange masked man. Who was that masked man? No, it wasn't Zorro. It's somebody else. We're not sure who, because it stops there.
How many men go into a mine wearing a mask?
Every single one of them, because of all the stone dust coal dust.
In the Westerns.
Every single one of them because of all the stone dust and the coal
this
dust.
This is before there was like...
No health and safety.
The biggest health and safety is, hey, I think all these toxic fumes are making me feel bad. Oh, put a mask around your mouth. You'll be fine.
It was that long ago canaries weren't even invented.
Yeah. They brought the canaries in just to have a friend. They're like, oh, it died. I wonder why that was. So, is it interesting enough that you want to... carry on?
It reminds me, it's got a certain degree of humour about it, but it's the kind of humour that I've seen in in the TV series Alias Smith and Jones.
Yeah.
You know, that old Western TV show from like the late 1980s. It doesn't have the kind of humour that would make it like really, really funny, but it is kind of tongue-in-cheek. But I don't know, because it's Disney, I kind of get the feeling that this is like the Western version of Hannah Montana, only without all the singing. it feels like that. It really feels like that.
That's not a good thing.
I know, and I don't know whether I'd have to read the next issue to decide whether it was going to be any good or not. As just an introductory issue, I don't think there's enough there to make a judgment on it. It is interesting up to a point, and it's nice that they're actually doing a proper Western.
Yeah. So, do you think it's aimed at a younger audience than yourself? Or
possibly, but I don't think so. I don't think it's aimed at a younger audience. I think that it's specifically aimed at an adult audience, because some of the humour in there and some of the scenes in there, they're just not for kids.
Okay.
Very strange.
Yeah.
It's just like when you said the Miley Cyrus comparison,
it really is one of the confusing things about it.
It is just issue one. They might still be finding their feet.
Exactly.
And once they've established their sort of footing, they can expand from there.
That's why I'm loath to say it's good or bad. It does feel like, they're just finding their feet.
Yep.
Anyway, I've got one more left, and this is...
Iron Fist, yes. Isn't it?
This is Kara Kyle Andrews' Iron Fist, The Living Weapon.
Yes.
One of the
lesser-known Marvel titles that's really being pushed in recent years. It's like featured heavily in the Spider-Man cartoons and stuff.
Yeah. This is actually quite a brutal Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Basically, it's they're in a different world, and Kyle Andrews' dad has returned. And Kyle Andrews' dad has basically broken the boundaries between life and death and summoned the wrath of the gods. The fire god has descended on Earth and is basically going to kill everybody, because Kyle Andrews' dad just wanted to see his dead wife again.
Yay!
And so everything has gone to pot. All of the monks of Kunlun are taking shelter in this building. But there is a renegade from Kunlun who is just... now he just wants to leave to a different world and start again.
Yeah.
And the story progresses. Iron Fist is badly beaten. He's almost broken. And his dad... he's with the body of his dad, and his dad's basically whispering to him, don't give up, look, you're back with me, you know, treating him as if he was 5 years old, you know, because that's what his dad remembers, you know, was him, was Kyle Andrews as a boy. It's actually quite tragic, that particular sequence, because his dad is basically wired a building, and you get Mecha Iron Fist building in this comic versus fire god, of giant fire god, and it's epic.
That sounds like the hypest thing I've ever heard.
It is. It's actually really good, because you have giant fire god versus Mecha building Iron Fist, and it really works to a point. But in the building, the survivors, the renegade from Kunlun kills the last Sholau dragon, and basically it breaks the chi connection that Iron Fist has with all of the Kunlun monks and everybody. Robert Iron Fist is dead, but it ends with Kung Fu Girl, who's just a kid, right at the end, and there's just, you know, in cartoons when somebody hits a wall and it just leaves a human shaped crater in the wall.
Yeah.
The last scene is basically Kung Fu Girl, who's probably about 10 or 11 years old and was good friends with the last Sholau dragon, who's an actual dragon called Gawk. Gawk is dead, and she then inherits the power of Iron Fist. You have the full dragon back on her back,
yeah,
and the burning fist. And there's just this crater in the wall where the Kunlun traitor used to be.
Cool.
Just basically that last scene at the end. I'm just showing Ben.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just kind of like, ooh, actually, that is almost on a par with the latest chapter of One Piece. Almost, but not quite, because the latest chapter of One Piece, I've got to mention it, Gear 4th, what the hell is it?
Oh, man, I'm quite excited. This
I love the way Oda does that as well. Just right at the end, he's got Luffy's saying, you know, you're being the thorn in my side, and then Gear 4th, and then every... is like...
And the little thing at the bottom on a hiatus for 2 weeks.
Yeah, the internet pretty much exploded at that point. Yeah. Anyway, that was all the comics.
Yep.
We'll have more for you next week, but we are pretty much at the end of the show. We've got about a minute left. Before we go, just a quick reminder, Comics Domain do a really good subscription service, so you should check it out. And also, we'd like to thank them for all the comics that we featured on today's show.
So check us up on Facebook. Just look for The Geek Show. Hit us up at TGS_TheGeekShow on Twitter. Find us on Tumblr by just searching The Geek Show. I've been Ben.
I've been Rob.
I've been Tucky.
And I've been Ryan.
And we will see you next week. Bye.